friendly reminder that Coast to Coast Hoops is sponsored by Better. That is B-E-T-R. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better, B-E-T-R, or Better.app now. Sign up today and you'll get a free $10, no deposit necessary. A warmer friendly hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peters, and now part of the Beast and Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you as we're going to be joined in a few minutes by one of our good friends. Rocco Miller, who does such great work over at Bracketeer.org, is going to be aboard, and we're going to be chatting with him about the fact that Tyon Grant Foster, after I had recorded my podcast yesterday, came out that he will indeed be eligible for Gonzaga. The NCAA continues to be the Washington Generals of the card system. They lose yet another one. Tyon Grant Foster, he's going to be back out there for Gonzaga. We're going to talk to Rocco about some of the nooks and crannies of this. If there's any other players that are dealing with some sort of a waiver issue, anything like that to take note of. But more specifically, we are going to be talking about those Gonzaga Bulldogs. We're going to be talking about what that means for them. Additionally, we are going to be taking a look at a few West Coast teams with him that he's feeling a little bit bullish on. He does a great job with the mid-major show over at the Field of 68 with Sean Paul, so we certainly have to be discussing some of those teams that at the last second he's feeling bullish on, and if he's made anything out of these exhibition matchups, if there are a few teams that he's having a little bit of a change of heart on, whether that be to the positive or the negative. So a nice clean conversation there with Rocco. If you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, Lursium, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter / X questions today, everything is powered by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is making sure that bettors are able to access their funds whenever and wherever. With EdgeBoost, 100% of gambling transactions do get approved. When you go to edgeboost.bet, make sure you put in that promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G. That gets you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. And additionally, with this podcast, I did a conference preview of all 31 conferences. Now, obviously, with having to split it up and having an entire summer to do these conference previews, there are a few changes with regards to rosters. And when it gets to the game-to-game analysis that is going to be starting up on Monday, I will be noting all that. So trust me, I am hard at work making sure that all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. But most of the information in there is still on the up and up and is still all good. I wanted to make those as evergreen as humanly possible for you guys to get set for the upcoming college basketball season. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, list goes on. They are all listed there, so we've got you guys covered on that front, and Rocco does have us covered with amazing insights into this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. I know that he is doing everything humanly possible to be able to get us set for what I think is going to be one of the most amazing seasons ever. You're able to follow him on the old Twitter / X at his first and last name, Rocco Miller, and then the number 8 altogether. And additionally with Rocco, always have to take note that he does so many different things, whether that be at Bracketeer.org, whether that be at Basket Under Review. I mentioned the mid-major show over on the Field of 68 and so much more. And Rocco, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to be on with you, Greg. Just having some fun as we get ready for college basketball season. It was a fun week. Last week in Las Vegas, got a good 2 days in. One long day of Mountain West and West Coast Conference Media Day. Talked to virtually players and coaches from each of the schools in those two great conferences. Also, just all the buzz going on. Stemming from that, of course, at Gonzaga with Tyon Grant Foster, getting the temporary injunction to be eligible. See if that saga follows him throughout the season or if he's just kind of off the leash now to play permanently. But yeah, I know that you want to talk about a lot of that. And some of this gambling scandal is impacting rosters unforeseen. We saw a player transfer from Temple for Wisconsin, basically is not going to be able to play at all due to the scandal. We've seen some other academic issues and gambling issues as well.
Yep, absolutely. We will start with Tyon Grant Foster, because the last time you were on, we were wondering, oh, is Tyon Grant Foster going to be eligible or not? Because that was immediately after the NCAA denied his waiver. Apparently, the judge was a Gonzaga fan. I got that intel from one of our good friends, Curtis Rogers, from out there in the lovely city of Seattle. But that said, how does this impact this Gonzaga team? Because I thought that even if they didn't have Ty and Grant Foster, that this was going to be a rock-solid team, that they would win the WCC. But I know that there's not as many people talking about Gonzaga in terms of being like a top-10 team as they typically do, and I think that that's a little bit of a fool's errand, because these guys like Braden Smith, these guys like a Jalen Worley that were out last year, these are really good players that, in my opinion, I always like to call them out of sight, out of mind guys, just because they didn't play last year, and I think that they are going to have tremendous seasons.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Steele Venters is another guy on that list who's coming back from a super long injury, 2 years on the sideline, probably almost 3 years since any of us has seen him play for Eastern Washington, but obviously was a hot commodity in that season's transfer portal. And all reports are good. Brian Michelson, the associate head coach of Gonzaga, was the representative from the staff at Media Day. Due to this whole Tyon Grant Foster saga, Mark Few was actually waiting with him to see if they could get a hearing on the same day. So that was fun to cover. But I think with Venters, Worley, Fogel, the freshman coming out of Anacortes, and others, there's a lot of pieces to work with if you're Mark Few and the coaching staff. I think the one thing that Tyon Grant Foster brings to the table is that proven commodity. He's got just a high level upside at the three spot that really is less proven on the other guys we mentioned, with them either sitting out or being freshmen. We just don't know for sure from a dependability standpoint. Coaches like Mark Few and, of course, Coach Bennett at St. Mary's, who run this league, the reason they've been so successful is they almost every single year have five guys they know they can count on in thick and thin, if not more. And without Grant Foster, they have basically a hole there at the three spot where they would have to depend or have somebody play their way into that role, which even for as successful as they are and how likely it would be, it would still pan out okay. It's a little bit more uncomfortable. And I think that's why you saw Mark Few so involved with this entire case. He sat there in the courtroom with him for over 2.5 hours. I heard even some of his family members didn't last that long. And so it shows you that it really matters to him. Now, there's all sorts of scrutiny in terms of Grant Foster and his background and some of the issues he had at Grand Canyon and whatnot. But there's no denying when he is on the court and locked in, he is a big time difference maker.
Yep, he certainly is, and he did struggle with his three-point shot last year. We'll see if he's going to be able to get that iron out this year, but I mean, the guy does a little bit of everything out there on the floor, and that is a big-time win for Gonzaga. And you mentioned it, Rocco, as we do have Rocco Miller does such great work over at Bracketeer.org, Basket Under Review, Field of 68, and so much more. Joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, say, you were out here in my neck of the woods, out here in lovely Las Vegas for all these media days, and were there any teams in particular that stood out to you when you were talking with these teams, and is there any team that you came across that maybe you just had to do a little bit of a double take and maybe dive in on a little bit more because you were able to get some good intel last?
The West Coast Conference, I'll start there. I would say that Pacific, I still don't know what the ceiling is for Pacific, but there's certainly no doubt that they're much more invested as a basketball program and giving Dave Smart more tools to work with as he enters year two. Of course, his background is well decorated in Canada as the most successful Canadian collegiate basketball coach of all time. And I just think they have just enough to work with. There's an opportunity to move all the way up to fifth. Now, I'm not going to predict that. I think they were picked either ninth or 10th, and I think that's fair. I think the four in the middle of that league, Washington State, Oregon State, LMU, and Seattle, are certainly still a cut above on paper. But some of the quotes I got from Elias Rolfe, they're mainly their only returning guy. That was the fascinating part, is it was a direct decision to let everybody else go and build a team around Ralph. Ralph admitted that the scrutiny and the amount of attention to detail that Dave Smart, his rigid style, a little old school, but obviously extremely successful, requires, he's all about it. Elias Ralph has really embraced that. They also brought TJ Wainwright from Long Beach State, who really wants to build himself into a professional player, whether that's, you know, here in the United States or overseas later in his life, remains to be seen. But I was really impressed by both Wainwright and Ralph's commitment to just being in the lab every day, talking about how much better they get every day. And, you know, they just brought in a lot of guys. We know Justin Rochelin from UC San Diego had a ton of success last year. Jaden Clayton and Alexis Marmolos, coming from Maine and Lamar, also had pretty surprising years at those two respective places. So again, it's going to have to be a win, you know, do more with less operation, but they really did go out in the portal and try to find as much as they could. Out in the Mountain West, you know, the more and more I dove into Grand Canyon, even though they did fall again in their exhibition just recently to USC, I'm not too concerned about that. It was a competitive ball game. I think this team is going to continue to get better. Of course, they're going to have an amazing home court advantage as always. They're going to do a lot for the Mountain West this year in terms of providing a quad one opportunity for teams that play them on the road. And if they are good enough, maybe even more quad one opportunities on a neutral floor or, you know, at the conference tournament. So again, Dusty Schromer plays that shooting sniper role very well with a real chance to be a big time scorer, you know, if he's left alone. Nana Owusu-Anane from Brown is just a tremendous person. Got to interview him and spend about 20 minutes with him. And you know all about Jaden Henley. That's a big time pickup from UNLV. Played a major role for the Rebels, comes right over, stays in the same league, can help these guys adjust to the league. I think the guy everybody was raving about, but we didn't see a lot from him in the exhibition, is Efe Demirel from Turkey, 7-1 sensation. Curious how much run he ultimately will get when we get to league play. But I just think Grand Canyon's got a lot of weapons over the floor. They want to play fast. They want to get in your face and be aggressive. And I think Owusu-Anane and Stromer and Henley are highly intelligent players. And the athleticism of Brian Moore Jr. from Norfolk is tremendous. So, you know, I think if there is slippage from like the Utah States and the Boise States, and if New Mexico takes a while to get going, I do think they will get going. You know, Grand Canyon's got a chance to work their way to the top two of the league. And I just think that's been undercovered throughout the summer.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned Grand Canyon and really the Mountain West as a whole, as we do have Rocco Miller, does such great work over at Bracketeer.org, joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, because when I look at the Mountain West, it's just a strange outlook for me on it, because the one team that I think is really going to be in play for an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament is San Diego State. Now, can a team like a Boise State, Utah State be able to get there? I absolutely think so, but I think that there's going to be a lot of teams that hover between like 45 through 70 five in this conference. I don't know if you agree slash disagree, but it feels like necessarily the top three teams maybe have taken a little bit of a step back, but that overall meet of like the top five, top six are all going to be rock solid this year.
Yeah, I do trust New Mexico to get into that group. I mean, I think, you know, the system that...
And Colorado State, I think, is really interesting too.
Yeah, they are very interesting as well. Yeah, I'll touch on them in a sec. I think New Mexico is the one I certainly have the most faith in because Chris Howell is there. And of course, his brother's an assistant, Mikey Howell, knows the system inside and out. He's basically an extension of the staff as a player, and he'll be their lockdown defender at 6'6". And good defense leads to great offense, as Tritons of UC San Diego proved last year. And even though Milos Vicentic didn't get to play much, he got hurt right away last year. You know, as long as he's on the floor as much as he's supposed to be, that's another guy who can really implement it. They're really excited about the freshman Boljan. Antonio Chole could be a real difference maker. They're raving about him. And Dayton Albury figures to be perhaps the leading scorer from Utah State himself. And he knows now, after one lap around the sun, how to navigate the Mountain West. So I think New Mexico is certainly going to land in that 45 to 75 zone with some serious danger factor. And that's the thing about the Mountain West every year, Greg, is we always have a team, it seems like, that shit is red hot at the end of the year. You know, last year it was Colorado State. The year before was Nevada. I think we can go back to almost each of the last 5 to 7 years and pick that hot team. And New Mexico figures that to have a very good chance to be that team this year. I think with Colorado State, you know, that's a good shout out. Like, really excited for Ali Farouk Manesh. I think he'll run some really great offensive sets that he's really kind of been, you know, groomed with under Nico Medved, and then continue to build on this Colorado State team and the program. And really, it's not a step backwards. He's going to at least uphold where they've been. Now, obviously, trying to match exactly what they did last year, a little unrealistic. But I do like the fact that Josh Pasquarelli comes over from Marist College. Big fan of his game. And I like some of the other pieces. Another team who could catch lightning in a bottle later in the year. Interested to see how it comes together over time. You know, Jevin Muniz was really efficient at Florida Gulf Coast. Jace Butler was a kind of an untapped guy that Washington couldn't really get rolling last year, but he's got a ton of potential, was a highly recruited guy. And Kerry Booth from Illinois in the middle there, he's got a chance to do the same. And there's still leaders like Kyle Jorgensen and Rashawn Mbemba can carry forward what they did last year. So a lot to look forward to for Colorado State. And I would say UNLV, if they get up to full strength. I did get to talk to Miles Che. It looks like he's back and available. He did miss the first exhibition game against Washington. But with some of the other injuries going on at UNLV, of course, they lost the big man for 8 to 12 weeks. I'm kind of proceeding with caution, but I do think if UNLV, there is enough talent behind Kamani Hamilton and others, and Lawhorn from Illinois, there's a lot of talent there to really be that level. And they believe in themselves heavily. Some of the quotes from Josh Pastner do not hold back at all. And so, yeah, we'll see what they can do. It's just more about, like, without seven-footer Emmanuel Stephen, that's the name I was looking for, transferred in from Arizona, going to be probably done till January sometimes for a big guy. It could be the whole year. They really need some of their 6'8", 6'9", guys to step up and play the five. And who's willing to do that and who's capable of doing that is my biggest question.
Yep, with UNLV, I thought that they brought in a really nice transfer portal haul, but you mentioned it with Josh Pastner dealing with a whole bunch of injuries right now, so they are going to be a team of fascination moving forward. And I think that that's a perfect segue, because we have seen quite a bit of that has happened due to gambling with regards to college basketball. We've seen a lot of guys get thrown out of the game. We saw with regards to Wisconsin a situation where they were bringing in Elijah Gray from Temple. We give our ode to Lane Kiffin, go Owls, that it's not going to be happening anymore because he was a part of the Temple gambling scandal. So we're going to be talking a little bit about what's been happening on that front. We do have to ask our good friend Rocco as well, just about how he's taking a look at these exhibition matchups and if there's a few teams that he's feeling a little bit stock up, stock down on based on what has happened out there actually on the court. That's on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Craig E. Peterson, now a part of the Beats and Family Podcast. For anyone that is new to VSIN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSIN, because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSIN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSIN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter, and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. And we're back here, lovely Las Vegas, for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Always a pleasure to be joined by Rocco Miller. He does such great work on so many different platforms, whether that be bracketeer.org, whether that be the Field of 68 with their mid-major show, Basket Under Review, and so much more. You're able to follow my Twitter/X at his first and last name, Rocco Miller, the number 8 altogether. And Rocco, we left off talking about the Mountain West and UNLV, and you mentioned this at the top when we were just starting our interview, the fact that we are still seeing some ripple effects and some ramifications from what happened in terms of some of the gambling scandals over the last few years in college basketball. And how about if we flesh this out a little bit more? Because we know that there were a few gambling scandals that have actually happened in college basketball the last few years. The most notable two, I would say, are the Fresno State one from last year where, I mean, man, that was not great to say the least. And then the Temple one I thought was one of the most interesting, because there were a lot of guys that were caught on Temple that were a part of that gambling scandal. And then immediately after they were caught, Temple goes on that run all the way to the American Conference Final, and they very nearly made the NCAA tournament. But we know that there was even more that came out on Tuesday. And I know you, Rocco, did a great job of being able to cover this on your Twitter/X feed. So just flesh out a little bit more as to what happened and some of the teams and players that are just involved with this, as I know that Elijah Gray is one of those guys, as he was dismissed from Wisconsin, though I can tell you, being a Wisconsin Badgers fan, didn't think he was going to be doing a ton to start with.
The Elijah Gray situation at Wisconsin, you know, I guess they never admitted him to school to begin with, so now he's completely gone. I think he was practicing for quite some time, but that's it for him. And, you know, we also saw BJ Freeman, who was not involved with Temple, but he's now banned for life. He was a college basketball star at Milwaukee and, of course, had some huge games for Arizona State last year. So really high-profile player there that won't be able to play college basketball again. He was slated to start for UCF this year, so that one is a really tough blow for the Knights. And, you know, getting to know BJ over the years, I covered Arizona State and Milwaukee and met him at both programs, and good kid, but just came from a really tough background, came from the JUCO ranks originally. You can kind of understand it. It's obviously a very poor decision, and just trying to find money however he could. It was unfortunate to see not only him, but a handful of guys get banned from the game. That's just crazy that we're at that point, but I guess they have to figure out a way to stop the bleeding. And then, of course, we had the situation with Dayton, where NG is now suspended indefinitely, probably off the team till further notice. And that's another guy kind of dealing with some hot water out there for the Flyers. It's just like a little bit of a trickle down effect, it feels like, with the NBA FBI situation that came down last week. You know, there's a lot of change in attitude in terms of this new NCAA rule that came out last week, Greg, that, or maybe it was actually 2 weeks ago, where college sports athletic departments can now legally bet on pro sports. And you're seeing Greg Sankey here on Tuesday of the SEC, the commissioner, violently disagreeing with that ruling, which is very fascinating because if you actually did your homework and saw the people who passed the rule to begin with, one of the representatives was from the SEC. And so the complete pivot in the theory is, and we'll just call it a theory because we don't have any evidence, but the theory is because of the NBA's FBI raid, there is going to be more names named on that side. And the apple doesn't fall too far from the NBA tree to college basketball. You know, some of these guys, a good number of them now are either millionaires or close to millionaires, invited to these poker games. And I've heard of some of this going on for 3 or 4 years. It's just a matter of whose name gets thrown into the mix. It's almost sort of a luck of the draw thing, I guess, because I do think several have been involved. And it's not just college basketball. It's college football. It's pro football, potentially Ohtani of baseball, other baseball players, Olympians, tennis players, swimmers. It's basically a millionaire's club, if you will. And it's going to impact all sports, depending on how far the FBI wants to go. There's a lot of backpedaling happening from where I'm sitting.
Yep, absolutely. And we're seeing some big time trickle down effects. The NGI situation over at Dayton, that's actually one that I found out through your Twitter/X feed. So I give you a little bit of credit there. And I do think that it's going to be something that we need to watch out for moving forward, because we know that a lot has come out all the way from the Chauncey Billups situation, which, if you want some good, clean family fun, read about that. Man, that was wild to say the least. But yep, there's certainly a lot of that is going on, as we do have Rocco Miller, who does such great work over at Bracketeer.org, joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And Rocco, I feel like we've talked enough about things going on off the court. Let's go to things on the court. And we've seen a lot of exhibitions over the last few weeks. And I'm one of those guys that you can gather a little bit from these exhibition results, what have you. But I would say if you're trying to think that a team is going to win/lose the national title because of what you saw in an exhibition matchup, you're probably bucking up the wrong tree. But that said, have there been a few teams that have either impressed you slash maybe made you feel a little bit more tepid about them with what you've seen in their results here on the court over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just taking everything with a grain of salt, as you should. I think that's the first rule of exhibition play. I think the kind of cool thing is, in this new era of exhibition games, is there's so many more matchups of D1 versus D1, high major versus high major, you know, playing like opponents. And I think that does translate quite a bit, especially when you see a box score and the box score tells you that the minutes were, you know, broken down between like 8 or 9 guys. So that pretty much shows you right away the coach was trying to play it as if it was a real game. Those are the ones I kind of take the most seriously. And so when I see, you know, Duquesne go to Virginia Tech and squeak out a win, that's one where, you know, if Virginia Tech's a serious bubble team later this year, obviously they would have no business losing to a Duquesne team, or it's telling us that Duquesne might be a little better than I anticipated, at least, you know, getting Jimmy Williams and Terrence Guignard to each score 21 points, you know, out of their backcourt. And so there's some results like that. You know, I've paid attention through text messages, through the close scrimmages that are not easy to access the box scores. And, you know, TCU is a team I continue to love. They pounded Texas in a scrimmage. They destroyed Tarleton, who plays some of the best defense in that state, by 40 in a scrimmage. Grain of salt with all that, my philosophy on the Horned Frogs is basically like, if they can up their tempo up to match their skills, you know, with Owen Freeman running the show, transfer from Iowa, used to running a lot at that program. Tanner Toulson used to running a significant amount at Utah Valley, and the list goes on. I think this is a roster built to run. I think TCU can really take at least the early part of their schedule and take the world by storm and build a resume. They get a crack at Florida, actually, down in San Diego. That could be interesting if they keep playing at a high level going into Thanksgiving. And I think outside of that, you know, it's more just individuals. The kid for Purdue Fort Wayne really caught my attention. Stevenson is his name. Cale Stevenson, transfer from Grambling, played a great role at Grambling, but he clearly was the alpha, doing everything for the Mastodons. 23 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, and a 14-point win over Ball State. And so, you know, you lose guys like Rashid Bello and Mr. Johnson from last year's team, and you're wondering, okay, I love the John Kaufman offense. They're going to be a top 50 tempo team, but who are going to be the new guys? And so that's kind of the fun part too. And so, you know, kind of falling on Stevenson, that was kind of yesterday's Easter egg. And I just try to find one of those or two of those per day, and I'm a happy camper.
Yep, exactly. And Mikhail Stevenson is a guy that over at Grambling last year I was very impressed by. So I'm so glad that you touched upon him, as I do think that for Purdue Fort Wayne, they're going to find a way to be able to give you good offense. We'll see what they're able to give you defensively, but that's going to be a fun team to watch out there in the Horizon League. And Rocco, I know you're doing a great job of following just a little bit of everything in terms of college basketball, from the big teams to the small teams to everything in between. You're just such a wealth of knowledge. You're tied into a little bit of everything. You're doing about 57 shows this year, and you're doing so all so well. So love to get people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Appreciate it, Greg. It's always good to be on the program with you. You can find me at bracketeer.org. That's the mothership. Well, preseason bracketology is all done, so look for that to get published between now and Monday. Monday, of course, being the season opener, so we got to get that out as soon as possible, putting the finishing touches on it. Also, scheduling pages were not all the way done, so we released the American Conference page today. Never too late to make your plans for November and December non-conference. And plus, with all the conference schedules being released, it's an easy way. If you are curious about Conference USA, the American Conference, or now the Missouri Valley will be up later tonight, it's a really easy way to navigate. We appreciate everybody's support. We have multiple people contribute to the site throughout the summer. And also, Basket Under Review. A couple really cool features are going up. I'm doing a article right now on the Mountain West, the final rodeo being this year. The Mountain West that we know and love, with the big boys still included, San Diego State, Boise, Utah State, Colorado State in that big mix at the top of the conference, their last rodeo. Should be a really fun piece for you to read if you've watched the league over the years, bringing you back to how the league started, to the greatest moments, to what to expect this year. Outside of that, the Field of 68, I host a show with Sean Paul and Vince Wolfram called the Mid-Major Show. It's really about the one bid league, so the other 22, if you will. Our next show is Thursday night at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific. And really excited because we're going to do our first preview show. So we are handpicking our favorite games of the first week of the season, breaking them all down. I know if you're listening to Greg, you're very interested in all levels of college basketball. There'll be some good information on that show breaking down the one bid league best matchups of week one.
Oh, those are going to be amazing. We are going to be getting 100 million billion games of college basketball on Monday. Myself and Rocco cannot wait. It's going to be great. Everything from the big games like BYU versus Villanova out here in lovely Las Vegas to the likes of Mary Baldwin taking on Division I teams. It's always a good time, and Rocco, he is so well tied into the sport. He does an amazing job of covering it all, and every single time he joins me, he lends such great insight. So big thanks to Rocco for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters here, name does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I am indeed with you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season and off season. The unofficial count is over 2,160 straight days without a missed podcast. That dates all the way back to when this was known as college basketball betting overtime and hooping with hoops. So we've had a pair of name changes along the way. We've had a switch of networks, I believe, twice. But every single day, there is a college basketball podcast fresh for you guys in these final days leading up to the upcoming season. We're going to be looking at the injury information, those last second things to take note of, some betting angles as well. And then when we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I appreciate you tuning in today. I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.